So welcome, Max, to Sell or Die. Before we begin the in-depth piece, can you please define for everyone listening, including me, what is sales hacking?
Yeah, so sales hacking is something we came up with about, I think it's like 3 or 4 years now, but it's generating more revenue using less resources. And that could be done in a lot of different ways. You know, that could be technological, that could be psychological, that could be human capital. So using virtual assistants in the Philippines to do kind of some of your more manual work. That could be financial. So, you know, how do you kind of cut corners on the right things and decide, you know, what to spend, you know, allocate budget on and what not to. You know, so there's a lot of different things you can do to kind of hack your sales process. And in the past few years, between the boom in technology and the rise of these startups and, you know, just the spread of knowledge, we've been able to do a lot more than ever before in the sales process. And this is kind of like an enhancement era that we're in. So that is really what, you know, sales hacking is.
So let me give you the old man's version of it. When I was selling in New York City, I only called on CEOs, thereby getting rid of every single human being in my path. And the CEO goes downstairs and tells other people what to do, thereby hacking them at the knees, and they have nothing to do. They have to go, yes, boss.
Exactly.
And I made...
You're the highest person. That's a great top-down approach.
Exactly. So I made literally millions of dollars worth of sales by only talking to CEOs or people that could actually pull the trigger. And that's an old man's hack.
And when they tell, and then when they tell their, you know, their employee, hey, you got to talk to this person, even if, you know, if the employee doesn't have that context, then it's like, this person just cold emailed me, you're in charge of this product value, you talk to them. But what they are really getting is, you know, my boss just told me I need to talk to you.
Exactly.
That works. That works really well.
Exactly.
And they don't understand. Sometimes the context isn't delivered, so they don't know that it was a cold outreach and that, you know, they're just getting it off their plate. They think that, oh, hey, my CEO told us to connect. This must be important.
I've tried to get the CEO walk with me and handshake.
To introduce you?
Yeah. And that way they know it's, you know, I make him do a handoff, a handshake off.
That's great.
And it works phenomenally well because the other guy can't throw me out. He can't say we're not interested.
Yeah.
Because the CEO's interested. So I've already talked to his daddy way before I have to talk to him.
So I mean, it works really well. And that's like, and it's, you know, the handshake stuff and the face-to-face stuff is fantastic, especially if you're doing the bigger deals. And the way that we, you know, we kind of got into hacking sales is because when we were at a startup, you know, we had to, again, generate more revenue using less resources. We had to find a way to kind of, to get into a lot of accounts and move them along quickly, without the ability to get in front of each individual, you know, lead or prospect. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do that now, you know, without being face to face for those kind of smaller, but, you know, you need a lot of those deals. You need to get a lot of people onboarded. And you can do that all online now.
So Max, tell our listeners, how do you become a sales hacker? What do you have to do?
Yeah, it's not anything that you have to necessarily do. It's just a dedication really to finding the best ways to do things instead of saying, you know, this is how we've always done it. You know, maybe take a look at the technology that's available to you now and say, okay, well, this piece of technology automates something that, you know, my reps have been doing that is a mundane task that they shouldn't be doing. They can spend more time selling and less time logging, you know, stuff into Salesforce, and this automatically pulls it in. Or this keeps them 10 times more organized so they can stay 10 times more focused so they can actually spend their time selling instead of doing, you know, these menial tasks. Just staying aware of, you know, what's available to you now in this, you know, kind of new era of sales. Over the past 3-4 years, so much technology has been built to make the sales job easier, more efficient, more effective.
And you list
a lot of the same strategies. Yeah.
You list a lot of that in your book. I mean, your book is full of resources.
Yeah.
What's the name of your book? Why don't you tell that to people?
So Hacking Sales, Playbook to Building a High-Velocity Sales Machine is the name of the book. And we go through the entire kind of top of the funnel sales process, delivering some, you know, really good technological hacks, the ways to use technology and the technologies that you can use. I think we showcase over 170 different tools throughout the top of the funnel. Showcase some psychological hacks as far as, you know how to work through the deal and how to work through those first few calls, how to prepare for those, for that contact. And then also the human capital side of things, which is I outsource a ton of my sales process to virtual assistants in the Philippines. A lot of it is the stuff that is kind of the behind the scenes. So they don't do a lot of contacting, but they do a lot of research, you know, and they can put together, you know, using some technology, they can quickly put together dossiers on contacts, chock full of information that I found on the internet, on social, and understand how to get in touch with that person using, you know, the appropriate tone they like to use when they talk to people, appropriate topics they like to talk about as an individual, and then also things that are interesting to them as a company or an employee of a company. So, you know, we take you through the whole gamut there on all those different things, and it's pretty comprehensive.
It's very comprehensive. I've been reading your book and thoroughly enjoying it. I heard you say on another podcast that technology has transformed selling into science as well as an art. How much of sales hacking addresses the science of selling and how much addresses the art?
Yeah, I'd say it's, so we have this conversation all the time, and it's efficiency versus effectiveness. So technology versus training. So the art is the training side. The art is, you know, you can have all the technology in the world, but if you don't know how to use it, you don't know how to sell, you're wasting your money. You're investing all that money in this technology and you're getting nothing out of it.
So well, you're a loser. Max,
yeah,
you're a loser.
I mean, it's equally important. Right. Yeah. You're losing money. You're losing everything. I mean, you're losing time, you're losing money. It's pretty much the surefire way to, you know, lose your company, lose your job, if you're not investing in that side. On the data side, on the science side, yeah, it's pretty interesting. A lot of this technology has made things a lot easier to track than ever before. For example, you can now see how long somebody spent on, you know, a proposal you sent them, what page they're looking at and how long they spent looking at that page. I mean, there's some data that you can get from your sales process that you were never able to use in the past because you couldn't capture that data. You didn't have that visibility and that transparency into your deals that you have now. And so if you can take advantage of that, I mean, I equate it to, you know, this is the enhancement era. So we went through what, you know, there was face-to-face meetings when, you know, dinosaurs roamed the earth or whatever. When you didn't have a phone, you did face-to-face. And when the phone was invented, you picked up the phone. And when email was invented, you started using email. And now we're in this era where all these tools are enhancing those three core things, face-to-face, phone, and email. And if you don't take advantage of this new technology, it's basically not taking advantage of the phone when the phone was invented. If you kept selling face-to-face when the phone was invented and that's the only thing you did, you know, you're probably not going to cover as much ground as the guy that was using the phone. And then, you know, so on for when email, you know, existed. If you just said, okay, I'm good here, I'm not going to evolve, you know, you'd probably put yourself in a disadvantage. And that's the same as, you know, same as we're in right now. Over the past 3-4 years, so much investment has gone into building products and technologies for salespeople to make their jobs better. And not taking advantage of that, putting yourself at a supreme disadvantage.
So I'm reading your book and I get it, and Jen reading your book and she gets it, and Doug's reading your book and he gets it. Who is the book for? Who do you want to pick the book up and read it enough to buy it?
Yeah, so it's anybody who still has to do with kind of like the frontline rep. So whether it's the frontline rep or it's the founder who's, you know, building a company from scratch or the early sales hire or, you know, a rep at a Fortune 500 company that wants to do better at their job or a director who is in charge of making sure their reps are well prepared and well equipped with everything they need to do their job better. It doesn't matter. It's for everyone that that is directly affecting, I think, the people generating the revenue. And, you know, it doesn't matter the size of the company or the industry or the country. I mean, we've sold books in, you know, India, Japan, China, Germany, anywhere that has different, Brazil. I mean, they have different cultures, and things are done a little bit differently, but a lot of the core stuff is the same. And, you know, some of the principles are timeless. I mean, you know, in your book, you speak a lot about things that are highly relevant today. We're not trying to say that you have to, you know, change a lot of these like strategies and tactics. We're just trying to share knowledge about some of the things you can do now that, you know, in 2016, is all of a sudden available that maybe wasn't available in the past.
How do you stay current on all the tools that are out there?
I love it. I'm just passionate about it and it's fun. And, you know, fortunately with Sales Hacker, we get access to everybody that's building. They want to come to us first because they want access to our audience who is buying. You know, we work with the sellers, and we like to call ourselves the next generation of sales. I mean that, you know, kind of in two different ways. One, the next generation of sales is obviously deeply rooted in technology. And, you know, that's kind of what we focus a lot on. But also the next generation of sales is the sales force itself. You know, things are changing. The millennials and the Gen Z guys are going into the workforce right now. And they're the next generation. They're the people who are going to be using these tools, who are going to be the future directors and VPs, you know, in the next wave. And it's a cycle, you know, just like the generation before it came in and did things their way. You know, this is how they're going to sell. And, you know, we're trying to help evolve, you know, like the industry all together.
I think you are evolving the industry, not just helping evolve it.
Yeah, you're making a dent for sure.
For sure. So
we hope so. It all comes from passion. And so I think really when you just genuinely and authentically care, it shows. And, you know, people want to work with us, want to talk to us. And, you know, we just want to be a facilitator. Like, I want to be the guy who introduces the company to the product, and they buy the product, and both people win, because now the company can generate more revenue using that tool, and the company that sold it wins because they get revenue and they can, you know, grow and hire more people. And we want to put ourselves in the position to just kind of facilitate and help.
All right. So it's clear that you're totally passionate about all these tools, because there's so many great resources and recommendations for salespeople stuffed into your book. How much of sales hacking is simply knowing the tools that are available to you to make your sales life easier?
Yeah, I mean, discovery is a small fraction of the battle. You know, there are sites out there now like G2 Crowd, and I think there's, you know, a couple other competitors to them that'll help you figure out what technology is available. Obviously, our book, Hacking Sales, and our blog, saleshacker.com, will help you figure out, you know, what's available to you. But, you know, a quick Google search can give you, you know, a treasure trove of information. It's really about understanding where it fits into your process and how to use it. And so, you know, if you are, you know, let's take, for example, you know, the first touch with a prospect. So if you don't know that you need to do research before you do that, you're already a fool and you're already screwed. If you do know you need to do research, you can go out and do 3 seconds worth of research or 30 minutes worth of research. If you do 3 seconds worth of research, you're probably also screwed. If you do 30 minutes, you might be very well prepared, but you just wasted 30 minutes. So if you can find a tool, you know, like a tool like Charlie App that aggregates all that for you, then you basically have 30 minutes worth of research aggregated already. And you can spend that 3 seconds. So instead of spending the 30 minutes, you spend the 3 seconds. You get 30 minutes worth of info, and you get all that time back, plus you're very well prepared for that meeting. So there's a scenario which, like, you either you know what you're doing or you don't. And if you do know what you're doing and you do it the wrong way, then you're wasting your time or you're doing a half-assed job. But if you know what you're doing and you can use the technology the right way, now you've been efficient with your time, and you should go into that meeting prepared.
We spoke to the Charlie App guy, and we love that app. Mm-hmm. We use it all the time.
I mean, it's great. Yeah. I use that with a mix of, I pay a virtual assistant in the Philippines, $800 a month. They're fantastic. They can do anything, you know, most Americans can do, and it's $800 a month, and it's all online. So it's not, you know, I don't have them do phone calls or anything like that, but they go out and gather a ton of information for me, and they'll go out and I'll do a Charlie App, you know, little dossier on, you know, who I'm talking to, and then I have them go and do a little bit extra manual research on top of that. And, you know, for me, I can just do a quick look over and know that all my bases have been covered and I'm ready for that meeting.
Okay, so let me throw this at you. Do you think that the older you are, the more reluctant you are to be a real hacker? Like, you don't want to get involved in Charlie?
Yeah, I'd say it's tougher. Yeah, it's tougher to embrace technology the more set in your ways you are. And I know that's true. I mean, you know, I'm the same way. I see things coming out now that are new to me, and I'm like, oh, I'm not super interested. Yeah, I don't use Snapchat, and there's stuff all over the internet that's like, oh, Snapchat's the future. I'm like, I don't really know if that's the future of B2B sales.
No, but certainly, you know, the now.
It's the now, and you know, you got to decipher what's a fad and what's not, and what, you know, things like that. And then realistically, you know, I use Facebook, I use Twitter, I use LinkedIn. Do I need another social network? If I see it working for other people and they're doing it right, you know, maybe it's something that I can incorporate later. But you know, to me, that doesn't seem like a needle mover.
So, can we stop for just a minute and talk about you? We haven't fully introduced you yet. So how'd you get started in this? What got you rolling?
Yeah, so I joined a company called Udemy, which is an online education marketplace, in 2011. And I've always taken a very entrepreneurial approach to this. So I was the first sales guy, and I built out the supply side of their marketplace. And it wasn't it was a sales role, but it was an entrepreneurial role. So when you have a marketplace like that, you're building two businesses at once, the supply side and the demand side. And so I was tasked with building the supply side and came at it from a very, just like, what if I didn't know anything about sales and I came at this completely from scratch, what would we do? And, you know, started using virtual assistants, started using some of the brand new technologies that were available to me, and kind of just hacked it together from a, you know, let's toy with this thing standpoint. And, you know, I grew up, and my favorite thing to do outside of playing hockey was building Lego sets when I was little. And it reminded me of that.
Wait. You know? What about girls?
Yeah.
Girls? Are they in the mix?
That came a little bit later. I mean, it was like Lego sets were like elementary and middle school. So okay. It was kind of
phased out.
You have to figure them out too. That's a whole other industry.
You know what? It doesn't come with an instruction book.
There's no hacking for that.
You're either screwed or you're screwed.
I don't like using the instructions. I kind of don't go by the book.
Right.
So.
I was always a braille guy myself.
There you go. How did it work out for you?
Pretty good.
good. The Lego stuff, really, obviously, I didn't like using the instructions. I kind of just, you know, was like, oh, let's see if I can build it if I don't use the instructions. And I was pretty good at it. And so, I don't know, I've always looked at things as, you know, let's pretend there are no rules and there's no guidebook. You know, what can we do from scratch here? What would we do? And what we ended up building was, you know, kind of a, you know, Aaron Ross's predictable revenue stuff. I read that book like 6 months after I got the job at Udemy, and I was like, damn, well, I probably should have read this 6 months ago. It might help a lot. But we did a lot of the same stuff, except I injected technology and virtual assistants into the process in a way where the entire thing that he developed, we basically automated or semi-automated. And it worked really well for us. And I ended up kind of loosely advising a bunch of other marketplaces, and then went over to a company called Attorney Fee, where I was the VP of Business Development, managed both sides of the marketplace. We sold to LegalZoom, and then after that started Sales Hacker, really because we had a meetup that we were doing and people were really interested in it. So I started the first conference, did really well financially on it, had 300 people there, and thought, people want this. Let's keep going with this. And the other thing was, you know, at that point I was going to start my own thing anyway. You know, it's great to get an education working in startups and working for other people for a little while. But then you kind of realize that when you work for other people, all you do is make someone else rich. And, you know, if you think you can do it yourself, you should go and at least take a swing.
Right. You follow the millennials by using their, quote, boss's blow, correct?
Is that a quote?
I don't know. I think
I'll take it. Yeah. Not when I'm the boss.
Exactly. Well, no, but you want to be your own boss. So you want to direct the show, and you're directing the show, and obviously you're in the third or fourth act of it, and it's doing pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean we're doing an event, you know, in a partnership with Salesforce. We're moving along. It's been about 2 years, 2.5 years now doing this, and again, it comes from a place of just passion. I'm pumped about it. I really like what I do. I really like working with the companies that we work with. I really like talking about sales and, you know, the psychology behind it and the technology and all that stuff. So as long as I keep liking what I do and as long as things keep going, you know, in a good direction with the overall market, I think we'll be in a pretty good position for a while.
That's great. So this is a pretty big week for you. You're preparing for a major event next week. Tell us about your event that's coming up.
Brag about it. Come on.
Yes. So, okay. So we've partnered with Salesforce on an event called Sales Machine. We'll probably have about 1,500 to 2,000 people at this event. Salesforce is bringing some of their biggest customers. And, you know, it's in an effort for us to move a little bit up market. I mean, a lot of our events are startup and growth stage companies in B2B tech. And, you know, we want to make sure that we can get our message out to more than just, you know, the mid-market B2B SaaS companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't the VP of worldwide sales operations at Aetna or, you know, Caterpillar or any of these big companies that are completely outside of B2B tech companies, why can't they leverage the same technology and the same processes that we're preaching to, you know, run their organizations? Because in B2B sales, a lot of the stuff that we're preaching is very similar. So,
right, you're looking for competitive advantage in all the research that you do and in all the tools that you use, and it can help anybody. It doesn't have to be a startup. It can,
exactly.
You know, Caterpillar is a 100-year-old company. They would groove for this.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we're getting those companies in, and you know, it should be an amazing networking opportunity. Obviously, the speakers we have on stage, I think we've got 50 sales practitioners. Most of them are actually from, you know, some of the growth stage tech companies that are doing, you know, what we're talking about. You know, people that kind of write for saleshacker.com and engage in the community and talk about, you know, their situations at their companies, whether it's Box or MuleSoft or, you know, LinkedIn or what have you. And then we have you know, major keynotes in Gary Vaynerchuk, Seth Godin, Simon Sinek, Frederick Eklund, Billy Bean, Arianna Huffington, and more. So the entertainment should be there. The content should be there as far as educational, actionable content. And the networking opportunities are amazing. And we'll be showcasing some technology as well through some demo jams and expo opportunities.
I'm sold. Where do I sign
I know.
Up?
Yeah, how do I get there?
SalesMachineSummit.com. Go quickly because tickets are going fast. And New York City, Pier 94, June 15th and 16th.